Well, good morning. Oh, you guys are the second service. You got to do better than that. You slept a little later this morning. Good morning. Okay, thanks. I'm an elementary school teacher, so that makes Joshua really awkward. He's like, I hate that. Don't do that. It's embarrassing. But I love to hear your voices. I love to hear a group gathering together as one voice. I am so excited to share with you what has been happening in this little bitty country called Bulgaria. Will anybody raise their hand if you know where Bulgaria is? Joshua, you don't count. Put your hand down. Okay, so a handful of you. I'm proud of you guys. Good job. Bulgaria is this tiny country as far south and as far east as you can get in the European continent. We border places like Romania, Kosovo, Macedonia, Greece, and Turkey. If you can find the Black Sea, you will find Bulgaria. That is our easternmost coast. And it's a place that many people have no idea where it is. Most of the time we speak and then someone comes up and says, now tell me, where is Bolivia? I'll say, Bulgaria. And they say, yeah, Belize. No, Bulgaria. Because it's such a place that is so forgotten and off in this corner of the world that no one knows about. Well, our family has a huge passion for Bulgaria. Joshua and I lived there for a year when we first got married. And then 10 years later, the Lord called us back. And I looked at Joshua and I said, I have two small kids. No, the Lord is going to have to speak very loudly and very clearly. And he did just that. During the COVID season, when we were all quarantined and stuck at home and doing these quiet, you know, COVID walks where you couldn't be around anyone, the Lord was working in our hearts to go back to this place that we had grown to love. This time he called us back to Sofia, the capital city. And if I'm being honest, when we landed in Sofia, we landed to a house that was given to us by the church and said, here, this church, the church owns the house, live here, make it for a church, use a Bible study, do what you want with it. But it was in quite rough shape, if I'm being honest. And we spent the first couple of months really just trying to fix this house up and figure out how we're going to live here with our two kids at the time. And I remember many days looking at Joshua and saying, why in the world did we do this? Why did God call us to this? We had great ministry going on in Tennessee. We had friends. We had family to support us. We had all of these things. Why, God, did you send us here? What's your plan? Could you give me just a little glimpse into what you see? Because I don't see it right now. Well, now, 3.5 years down the road, we can see a little clearly. A little more clearly, not to say that there aren't still those days where we miss home and miss family, but we do see more clearly the plan that God had and still has for Sofia, Bulgaria. As Pastor was saying, we use our children for all of the things that are easier for kids to do. We collect relationships. We talked about this with a lot of people. We didn't know anybody. We had no friends, no connections. There was no Nazarene church there. Honestly, not a lot of Protestant Christian churches at all. And we had to figure out how to make connections with people. Well, in a cold culture like Bulgaria, where it takes 10 interactions for someone to give you their name, it becomes a very difficult task to get to learn about people. We spent a lot of time at the playground. We had a 2- and 3-year-old. We would go every morning at 11 and every afternoon at 5 because at 11, the grandmothers brought the kids. And at 5, the parents brought the kids. So we would use Jude and Kate as our spies. I'd say, Caitlin, you see that little girl over there? I want you to go over there and ask her her name. And she'd say, why? I'd say, because I want to know her name so that this afternoon when I see her, I can say, hey, how are you today? And her mom's going to look at me and go, how do you know my kid? But we use our kids. It sounds bad when you say we use them, but as Pastor Andrew said, 466 missionaries, sorry, God uses them, excuse me, yeah. Pastor Andrew shared that number, 466 missionaries. That number does not include children, and we tell our kids every day, you are missionaries. Your mom and dad aren't missionaries here on this job, and you're just stuck along for the ride. God called our family to this ministry. You go to school each day and you're the foreigner, you're the strange kid in the classroom that people are looking at you and saying, well, why in the world are you here? And our kids look at them and say, well, we're missionaries. And if you ask any of our kids today, maybe not the littlest one, but the two bigger ones, you can say, what's a missionary? And they'll tell you, A missionary is a person who goes somewhere and tells people about Jesus. You don't have to go to Bulgaria to do that. You can do that right down the road at the Walmart that closes at 10 o'clock. But the Lord has called us to this place that we've grown to love. And I could stand here and tell you hundreds of stories that the ways that the Lord has made his church possible in Bulgaria. I could share with you a million stories of how God has brought relationships and people into this void that was so empty into our lives when we first moved to Sofia. But I am a teacher, so I have learned that there are many, many different learning styles, and mine is a visual learner. I am not good with reading statistics and looking at books. I want to see it. I want to know. I want to be a part of it. I want to feel like I'm there. So we've created a video for you today that I hope you'll enjoy watching. And as you watch it, you'll see the faces on the screen, and you'll realize that these people are your people. These people are brand new believers, brand new brothers and sisters in Christ. This morning during first service, while we were worshiping, they were worshiping at 5 o'clock in the afternoon in our home in Bulgaria, singing songs, praying, reading scripture, and doing a devotional and Bible study together. They're your people. All of the things that have been accomplished in Sofia, Bulgaria, are not the works of Joshua and Katie Hahn or their three kids that tag along with them everywhere they go. It's the work of the Lord through people like you who give and support, and people who come to Bulgaria and see what's happening. Not all of us can jump on a plane and see it with our own eyes. But today, as you watch the video, you'll get a glimpse. You'll notice in the beginning of the video that it's just our family. You'll notice that we have our first church service in our home with about 8 people on a concrete slab because we were still doing repairs. And you'll notice that through birthday parties, Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas events, that the group of people that the Lord has brought into our lives has grown and grown and grown. So as you watch the video today, take notice of those faces. They're your people. They could sit right here amongst you guys and fit perfectly as the body of Christ. They are your brothers and sisters in Sofia, Bulgaria. Today, on your way out, I think Pastor is going to be bombarding you with some cards because he got more people to get them from him than they came to the table. But if you want to see some things from Bulgaria, Joshua and I will be back at a table right beside the Outlinks group. And we have prayer cards. We would love for you to take one, stick it somewhere annoying that when you see it falls in your lap from the sun visor, or stick it in your Bible where you're opening up to pray and do devotions every day. But when you see it, don't just pray for the Hahn family, although we do need a lot of prayers. But pray for Bulgaria, for the salvation of those in the city of 3 million that don't know about Jesus Christ. So today, enjoy getting to know some of your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Let's pray together. Oh God, sitting down there, sweet Lord, and talking to Katie about all the faces. We didn't just meet in an elevator at a park. The barriers were too high for that. Every face, Jesus, is an impossibility. An impossibility. I wish I could just stop the clock, stop all of time, and we could just spend half an eternity telling the stories over and over and over again. I would never tire of how an attorney was just an eternity, and now Tanya is my sister in Christ. Of how Todor was just a stranger who'd never read a Bible, and now we journey in the Word together. He's my brother in Christ. About how Kami and Ileana and Josue and Rey were foreigners in a foreign land, Cuban like we are, but American. And the way in which the witness of the church has radically transformed a little girl's life to the point that she'd want to be baptized. The way they came up out of those waters and saying, Asam Rishil, the sled from Gospel to Nesh Desavurna. Asnazad. Lord, we love you today, and I'm so grateful that whether we're in Worcester or we're in Sofia, everything you have said and done is true. And it's not old or ancient, but it's alive because you're alive. And God, help me to tell the story well today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I want to share a scripture with you, but before I do that, I'm going to actually go ahead and ask the guys if they would play that first video, that intro video, and then I want to share a scripture with you. That very first one.
I'm Pavel. I'm from Sofia, Bulgaria. I'm 37 years of age, and I'm a recovering addict and a believer.
Sometimes I feel like you just read the Bible and it preaches itself. You don't have to say anything. It's so powerful. I want to share with you a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where a church planter says this to a congregation in a world not interested in Jesus. He says this to a congregation in a city where it's hostile to know Jesus and certainly to proclaim the love of Jesus. And this is what he tells them when they wonder what they should hold on to in the midst of it all. Now, I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which in turn you received, in which you also stand, and through which you are being saved, if you hold on to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe uselessly. For I handed on to you as of first importance that which I received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And he then appeared to Cephas and to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 other brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive today, though some have died. And then he appeared to James and all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he has appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me has not been wasted. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me, so that whether it was I or they, we have proclaimed, and so you have come to believe. Paul says to this group, hold on to this on the hard days. Hold on to this on the hard days. Not all of the things that the world counts as success, power and fame and fortune and politics and economics and all this sort of things. Paul says, hold on to this instead. Conspicuously, he says, the good news, the gospel, hold on to that when the days are hard, as of first importance, so that your faith is not useless, so that the grace that has made you who you are is not useless. Hold on to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, as Katie said, we serve in Sofia, Bulgaria. It's the capital of Bulgaria, and it's a really beautiful city, and it's a really broken city, and it's a city of about 3 million where almost half the population of Bulgaria lives. And we live and serve in a country where, in a recent survey done in Europe, Bulgarians rated themselves as the most isolated, depressed, and hopeless people group in all of Europe. That's us, they say, the most hopeless, the most isolated, the most depressed, perhaps the most broken of anybody on the European continent. That's where we live. It's a fun place to live. And we live in this beautiful and broken city because we have a God-given dream, a passion, a fire in our bones, that the most broken would discover the living Jesus, would encounter the living Jesus. 2 years ago, someone said to us, what really is your work in Sofia? What do you do? We said, well, we're church planters. And they said, well, what do you really want to see happen as church planters? And we said, well, let's start with what we don't care about. We don't care about going around and arguing with people and getting them to concede that we're right and just being on the top of an argument. And we don't just care about people saying, you know what? Okay, I'll agree to your moral standard. We're not interested in that. And we're also not really concerned in someone just picking up a new set of religious practices and adding it to their full life. What we want to see living in the most depressed, isolated, and hopeless people group in Europe is we want to see the most broken people have an encounter with the living, breathing Jesus Christ and be completely transformed in a way that nothing else transforms. Meeting the living Jesus. And not just once, but over and over and over again. And we church plant because the best way for people to encounter the living Jesus is to encounter the living body of Jesus, and that is the church. That's you, living body of Jesus. Scripture doesn't say that the church is like the body of Jesus. It says it is the living body of Jesus. And when our boss asked us about a year ago, how will you know when it's time to move on from Bulgaria just so we can plan? We said, well, we'll know when it's time to leave because we'll have no more stories to tell of the living Jesus. Paul says this is what's at the core of the gospel. Jesus died and he rose again. Why does that matter? Because it means that broken lives can be put to death and new lives can be raised up that barely even resemble the old ones. Prove that is the obvious question. The ochevidniyet vopros, as we say in Sofia. It's an obvious question from the Bible. Prove the gospel's true. And this is what Paul says. You know what the proof is? God proves himself in the stories of people that have met him. James, go talk to James. Have a coffee with James. Have a coffee with Cephas. In case you think only exclusive few get to meet the living Jesus, ask the hundreds of other brothers and sisters who have met Jesus. Most of them are still alive, so you don't have an excuse. Get a coffee. Have breakfast. They'll tell you all about Jesus. They've met him. It's not a theory. It's a living God that they've met. In essence, Paul says stories of encounter are the evidence that the gospel is true. I'll never forget meeting Pavel. First time I ever met Pavel, we were at a restaurant. We went to a birthday. One of the kids in the school invited my daughter in her preschool class to a birthday. So we went. We met Pavel's family. We collect relationships. So we just ask everybody at the birthday party to have dinner. And whoever says yes, we got them. So we went out to dinner with Pavel and Donnie and Victor. And the kids went to play. And me and Pavel and Donnie and Katie sat there to eat. And Pavel sat down and said, I'm one of those guys, I want to get straight to it. What are you doing in Bulgaria? You're Americans, you come from the promised land, we're the worst place to live in Europe, why are you here? And I said, well, since you said that, I'll go for broke, and I'll tell you that we're here because we love Jesus, and Jesus loves us, and Jesus is also the love of everyone's life, not just ours. So we're here to share the love of Jesus with you, to let you know Jesus loves you, and everyone in Sofia, we believe the best way to do that is the living body of Jesus, so we're here to start churches so people discover the love of God. And when I finished, he started laughing hysterically. He's got quite a laugh, this guy. And he laughs so loud. And by the way, in Bulgaria, the lights are always dimmed in restaurants. And everybody talks kind of like this. So the whole restaurant was looking at us as he laughed until tears rolled down his cheeks. And then he said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And for 2 hours, he made our faith the butt of every possible joke. He mocked us, humiliated us, ridiculed us, called our faith brainwashed, ridiculous, cultish, and stupid, and said that he'd never heard of anything so dumb as the people moving their whole family across the planet for something as hocus pocus. Yeah, he watches a lot of American movies. Hocus pocus as Jesus. And we got in the car, and I said, there's nobody in Sofia more hostile to Jesus than that guy, Pavel Volochkov. And we went home and put his name on a sticky note on the wall and said, Pavel's salvation. We started praying. And we kept getting coffees with Pavel and we kept meeting with Pavel so that he could, you know, ridicule us for 2 hours at a time. Mostly me. Katie didn't have as many coffees as I did. And we met and we met and we met and we got to know one another. And I'll never forget the night that Pavel called me on the phone. He had let me in on the secret that he had struggled with drugs and he had an addiction problem. And he called me one night on the phone. We'd gotten to know each other pretty well. And he said, Joshua, I'm calling to tell you, I know you already know I'm an addict, but I'm calling to tell you that I'm going to be dead soon. He said, I've been into drugs for 23 years. I'm an alcoholic. He said, and now I'm a gambling addict because I'm a drug addict. And he said, I owe the wrong amount to the wrong people. And I'll be dead soon. And I wanted you to know you're a good guy and you're a good friend. And it won't be your fault when you hear that I'm dead. It's not your fault. It's my fault. Because even if I could get out of debt of owing the wrong people the wrong amount, I'm still an addict and I can't stop. And I just did it today again after promising my wife I wouldn't. And it's destroyed my family and it's destroyed me. And this is the end. And I felt like you deserved a phone call to let you know it's not your fault. But there's some things you can't get out of, he said. Some things you can't be saved from when you owe what I owe. And I hung up the phone and I told Kay, I said, we got to pray for Pavel. I said, because I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation before. He's tried everything. And about 2 weeks later, I went to pick up Kate from school. I normally don't do that. Katie does that, my wife. But I went that day, coincidentally bumped into Pavel. His eyes were bloodshot and he looked exhausted. We'd been for about a week or two. We'd talk to him every day and I'd say, have the people you owed been over to demand the money? Yeah, and man, if I don't pay up soon, I don't know what's going to happen. It's just living day to day. I'll be dead any day. And I saw him that morning as we dropped our kids off and he said, can we meet? I got some questions for you. And I said, yeah, when do you want to meet? And he said, today. And I said, well, it's sermon prep day, but all right, let's meet today. When do you want to meet? He said, in an hour. And I said, great, let's do it in an hour. I'd love to have my faith ridiculed again for 2 hours. So I'll just go home and I'll drop all my stuff and I'll get my bag. And I said to Katie on the way out the door, pray, something's up. And I walked down to the cafe. And when I got down there, Pavel was pacing and he sat when I walked up and I sat and he stood and I stood and he sat and I sat and he stood. And I said, forget it. So I just stayed sitting down. And he walked around and paced a little bit. And in Bulgaria, people talk quietly. That's something from communism. You don't want people to know what you're saying, because you don't want to go to jail for it. So in general, the culture is a little bit quieter, and everyone's sitting around us, and he's pacing, and finally he walks over to me, and he puts his arm on my shoulder and squeezes me, and he says, Josh! And then he noticed how loud he was, and he looked around, and he said, as if he was scared somebody to think he was crazy, and he says, Josh, I know there's a God now. And I looked at him, and I said, how do you know there's a God? And he said, because he came to me last night. He came to me. And I said, why do you talk, describe that to me? And he said, I can't describe it. And he said, listen, I've never believed in God before. It's always been something stupid to me. And here I am, and I'm still broken. I'm still going to be dead soon. I still owe the wrong people the wrong amount. And I'm still a drug addict, and my family's still completely shattered. But in the midst of all that, he said, God came to me. I know there's a God because he came to me. And he said, I wanted to talk to you first. And he said, you know why I wanted to talk to you first? This is interesting. I've told others this. I said, why? He said, because I've mocked your faith for years and I can't get you aggravated. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you know, you've never defended your faith to me a single time. You just sit there and take it. And then you invite me for coffee again. He said, it's like you're so confident in your faith, my mocking didn't even matter to you. It was like water on rock. And he said, and I said, well, Pavel, I always knew Christ will prove Christ's self to you when it was time. And I text Katie and I said, send me a picture of that sticky note on the wall. And I showed it and he started to weep. And he said, I can't believe God came to me. Fast forward and we got Pavel into an 8-month rehab and he graduated from rehab and he got out and he said to me, Joshua, I said, Pavel, did you, it was a rehab in an undisclosed location so none of us could know where he was because his life was under danger. His wife didn't even know. His son didn't know. Only person who knew was him in the rehab. And so he got out and I said, Pavel, I couldn't catch up with, did you pray while you're in rehab? And he said, yeah, 3 times. And I said, 8 months, you prayed 3 times. He said, yeah, because if you knew what God did when I prayed, I'm scared to pray more. I'm going to be careful. I'm going to be careful. Nobody asked me about that story, but it's wild. We'll talk about it at lunch, guys. I mean, crazy stuff. I wouldn't pray either if God had done what he did when Pavel prayed. Broken man in the midst of addiction, nothing could save him. And on October 16th, 2024, at 9 o'clock at night, to the lights of our cars, Pavel was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he's a brother. And the one most hostile to our faith is a beloved in Jesus. Not from a theory or a philosophy, not from education, not from arguments, not from morals or religious practices, but because Jesus lives and walks the streets of Sofia. And he's coming to the broken, and the gospel's true, and Pavel's the evidence today that the gospel is true. I wish I could tell you about the first time I looked at Alex and I read the prodigal son narrative, and he looked up with tears in his eyes because he never heard that story. And he looked at me and he said, that's my story. And I looked at him and I said, it's all of our story. I wish I could tell you about Todor and Kami and Tanya and Diane. I wish I could tell you about Lyubo and Christian. I don't have time, but I'm here to tell you, Pavo's representative, we have all kinds of evidence that Jesus lives today. And I want to ask you if you are a creature of grace and whether or not you have a story to tell. I also want to say a big thank you. And I'm just going to end this with gratitude. That's the best way to end anything, I think. I want to thank you for Outlinks, because when you make a promise to Outlinks, you make a promise to believe that Christ walks the streets of Worcester and Sofia. And you make a promise to invest in that. Outlinks promises bought this shirt. I'm serious. They bought these pants. These are Bulgarian pants. I bought them in Bulgaria. And you bought them. They put a pillow under my son's head at night and they put food on the table. They bought the table that those people are gathered around in that pictures. You set a table in Sofia without Link's promises. I want to thank you for your prayers. We go to school in the morning and I take Jude to school. And Jude, sometimes he'll cry a little bit. This gets me. If you love your kids, I've never been a foreigner. I grew up in a town of 700 people, and I'd never seen a foreigner when I was a kid. My son will say, Dad, you know, I'm a stranger at school. I don't want to go to school today. He says, you know, the people are so mean to me there sometimes because my Bulgarian sounds a little bit weird, and I look different, and I'm a foreigner. And he'll say, I just don't feel like I can do it today, Dad. And you know what I say to him? I say, son, do you know that while we slept, it was daytime in America? And do you know that before you ever got out of bed, the body of Christ covered you in prayer? While you slept, Christ was called on for your sake. I say that to my son. And I'll say, so you can go to school today and you can do more than survive, baby. Christ will be with you everywhere you go today in school. Thank you for prayers, for pennies. Thank you for being the living body of Jesus, where I am discovering and encountering God, and my children are discovering and encountering the living Jesus. Thank you for being the living body where all those people in Sofia are encountering the living Jesus. And you know the thing about testimony and witnesses, it perpetuates. And I sat down there, and I'm confident in this, we'll have more stories to tell, because the evidence is building up in Sofia, just like it is here. Thank you for everything you do, church. And please don't stop, because the kingdom is coming. And the Church of the Nazarene is a lot of things. If you're here and you don't know a lot about the Church of the Nazarene, I'm just going to finish with this. We are nothing more than we are a missional movement of people desperate for Pavels at the end of the earth to discover the living Jesus. That's who we are. And the first time we ever took a missions offering, an Outlinks offering at our local church, we took it up for 3 months and we raised $60 US. Somebody in the church said,
that'll buy a pack of toilet paper in America.
And I laughed and I put a second slide up that had the 30,000 something churches. And I put $60 US times 31,000. It was millions of dollars. And I said, we're small, but we belong. We belong, church family, together. And we're on mission together. And the world is being changed and Jesus is being discovered because we can do more together. Thank you. Thank you. Can I pray for you? Sorry, can I pray for you in Bulgaria? And I know that's really weird. But you know your brothers and sisters in Sofia, they cried out to Jesus today. They cried out to Jesus today in this language. And they read scripture today in this language. And they discovered a living Jesus in this language. Can I just pray in that language and bless you in prayer? But I'll say this in English, lastly. The letter in 1 Corinthians ends like this. And so my great love in the name of Jesus Christ to each and every one of you. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Скъпи Исус, не знам как да кажа колко съм благодарен за тези скъпи хора. Не знам как да кажа колко скъпо е тази църква. И че това означава, че ние сме повече от просто обикновени хора. Ние сме необикновени хора в Твоето име. И знаем, че когато ние сме заедно като тялото на Христово, когато ние сме на мисия заедно, всичко е възможно в Твоето име. Всичко е възможно. Благодарен съм за всяка история, която аз мога да покажа. Всяка история, която аз мога да разказвам. Благодарен съм за всяка история, но ние знаем, вярваме, сигурни сме, уверени сме, че ще има много повече в години наред. Защото ние сме заедно на мисията на Господа. И защото Исус е жив. Ти си жив. И ти си на нашите улици. Jesus, you are alive and you're on our streets. And we're thankful for the body. In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, body of Christ.